Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh! Welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with the good kid, John Yurkovich, in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood, because this is spring trading. That means that Yurk and I are working together. We got Sylvie and Bleck at 10, Carmen and Abdallah at 12, and Cap and Waddle from 2 to 6. It's Tyler and Miller from 6 to 8. Southside, good to see you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. Whirlwind activity in the NFL yesterday. Whirlwind activity. A lot of things happening.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Southside, are you,
I'm here.
Are you an individual that wakes up early? Wakes up early.
I usually do wake up early. It's most of the time when the sun creeps through the blinds, it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
I get up and hit the bathroom and then hit the shower, and then it's time to go down, get some coffee, hard boil a couple eggs, and rock and roll.
When you hit that bathroom, though, do you hit it? Okay.
Ooh.
How's the aim?
Man, I'm telling you.
That time of morning, aim good?
Aim's great. I usually sit because I'm doing both. It's uno and dos. It's a little bit of both.
Good to know the fiber's working that time of morning, right?
All the time, the minute. I mean, it's it, and then right to the shower. Because usually it's a problem, you know.
We can wash it off.
It's a problem. All types of silliness happening there. I like being up in the morning. I was a duck hunter back in the day, so we used to get up very early to get out there, do a little bit of a draw if we're at a public facility, and then get a little breakfast, then get the decoys out, get everything set up, and wait for sunup. Yeah. Sunup to make things happen. It's actually a half hour before sunup is legal shooting time.
Sure.
So we'd be out there nice and early, have a little bit of coffee, waiting for that morning flight to happen. So you can go ahead and down a couple of mallards.
Yes.
Some wood ducks.
Yes. Thank you very much for the clarification. Yeah, the wood duck mallard. Thank you very much.
The American widgeon is another fine duck that I've taken down and harvested in my day.
I learned all this on Channel 11 as a small child.
We all did.
Yes. I learned about the duck, the mallard.
Yes. Beautiful greenhead. Yeah. Very plentiful in the United States of America.
You know, be careful of that greenhead. I need pills for that. But nonetheless, we got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. And something else, too, Cap. You know, when it comes to this.
Cap I'm Yurko.
No, I'm just saying. Cap was telling me yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to watch me. I'm very smooth.
Cap was telling you something. Good luck.
Yes, yeah. He was telling me that he says that I'm good with this 3, 4, 5 wins for the upcoming season. Well, I know one thing. If you're an Arden Bears fan, look at is, hey, you like what you've seen here in the last 48 hours, 72 hours with the Bears, the movement that they've made.
If you're looking for improvement, you're not happy with 3, 4, or 5. If you're looking for improvement, and you're looking at what's being done right now in free agency, and we're still early in this thing, and there'll be guys that still sign today. There might be guys that sign next week. There might be guys that sign 3 weeks from now. Just because free agency starts, free agency doesn't end. You might be looking to make your team better throughout the whole process, even in the summer. You never know what's going to happen in June. You never know if a team thinks, okay, all right, everything we've done, it still doesn't look good. We might have to go ahead and make some moves and to solidify a last place finish, which is what the Bears found a way to do last year. So there's still chances to acquire players up until training camp, and then still chances because of the trade deadline to make your team better as you move on. So I'm one of these guys. I like what I've seen. I like the activity. I guess if you're going to build a house, you've got to acquire all the materials.
Sure.
Right? So, you know, you got to get your lumber. You got to get your nails. You know, you got to get the press board, the gypsum that's going to be up on the walls. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that need to happen, right? And so you go about the process of getting all the pieces in place. And that's what Poles is trying to do. I don't necessarily like building from the back or from the outside in. I like building my offensive and defensive lines first. and then kind of fitting the pieces around him. He's doing it a little bit differently, but we'll see. We'll see. It's early still.
I just think that when you look at this depth chart, and it doesn't change. I open it up every day, you're saying,
yeah,
there's got to be some talent here, and it's always the same. The depth chart never changes. It's starting to change now because of the signings for the Bears. When I look at it, and I say, boy, you talk about building the house. All of these pieces are out in the lawn.
Yeah.
You got so many things that you need to fill. It's the worst defense of my lifetime, watching that Bears team. I'm sitting at a bar in Austin when we played the Cowboys. I'm sitting there on my sixth Lone Star beer, and I'm looking at this, and I said, man, 29 points is enough for you to win, but not if you give up 49. And I said at the time, and you hate to say this because you don't know the heart and the desire of any athlete, but I saw some business decisions, I thought, from the secondary in that game against the Cowboys. And I said, man, if you only have 20 sacks as a team, that says a lot for this Bears defense. We've seen some bad Bears teams. Never seen a defense that bad. So, I mean, getting Edmonds and Edwards, a couple of linebackers, help when you're able to have that late signing, the defensive end Demarius Walker on the team, it does help. You need to fill the bill somehow.
Well, obviously you've got to fill out the roster. You got to fill the depth chart. I'm assuming he's coming in and being a starter. Every player that's been signed, I assume, is coming in and becoming a starter. I mean, that's what you've got to take a look at it. So have you made improvements? Certainly you've made improvements. Yeah, the acquisition of DJ Moore, it's not a free agent acquisition. It's a trade for a draft pick, but it's an acquisition nonetheless. So DJ Moore's up here, and he knocks everybody else down, right? Number one receiver, no questions asked. Darnell Mooney, Claypool, everybody moves down. Because you get DJ Moore, your wide receiving room is better. Is it enough? Probably not. You might need to make another acquisition via the draft. You might have to go ahead and draft somebody in the second round. You got multiple picks. It'll be a good thing for you. You got a defensive lineman. I got four defensive line spots that need to be filled. Four of them.
Yeah.
I got four that need to be filled. It seems like one's filled. You can do it with a player from last year if you think that player was good enough to come back and become a starter here. I don't know if anybody from last year's team is good enough to come back and be a starter. Maybe 93, the young kid in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
When I say young kid, he's probably a fourth or fifth year player. Maybe he's good enough, but you need another dominant inside rusher. I don't think you got a dominant inside rusher in the guy we got from the Tennessee Titans.
No.
I think he's a solid player, and you need solid players also. You need bricks and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have mortar to hold the bricks together. So that's fine, but you need a penetrating three technique, and you probably need a pass rushing defensive end and or exceptional skill guy like the kid from Texas Tech.
Well, what I would tell you is that when you're right about talking about working on the inside versus working on the outside, on your defensive line, you still got to be able to, as you mentioned, three guys. It makes it seem like the corner position that you can get at any time because you want to get the other side of that cornerback position, other side of Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, but you still got 33, right? You got 33, yeah. You got 9, Brisker.
You give it numbers.
Yeah, it's always numbers, you know? Nine. Numbers until they're in their position.
Yes, Brisker.
Well, you've got 9 and 6.
Yeah,
you've Gordon. Got 33. So Gordon is a corner, right?
Yeah.
One of the two is a corner, and then you got Eddie Jackson back there.
Yes.
That's why I think that corner is not as important as the rest of this team right now.
Yeah.
It was always receiver, offensive line, defensive line, right? Receiver, offensive line, defensive line. That's what you're looking at. You fill the linebacker position. So now you've got no issues at your linebacker position. You've got two guys in for the price of one. That's what they've done. Fine.
Was Sanborn the other one? Jack Sanborn. Jack Sanborn. And so is he starting? Is he in there now?
No, it's TJ Edwards on your interior line. It's Edwards, right?
Edwards.
Edmonds. And it's Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
Edwards and Edmonds. And then Sanborn or somebody else playing that third linebacker position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who's going to play Will and who's going to play? I think they want Edmonds to play the Will. I think they do.
Well, yeah, because if nothing else about him, I mean, he doesn't do anything for you outside of being able to tackle on the outside. He's got speed.
Oh, he's got exceptional speed. Yeah. T.J. Edwards is a player, too. He's a speed guy, too. But I don't know how big he is to go ahead and I think they got to find somebody at the middle linebacker position. Then they got a Sam and they got a Will.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got to figure out who's going to play where. So that's fine. You got your linebacker position. You got your defensive backs. I don't have a defensive line.
Right.
These linebackers are going to need cover. They're going to need guys being disruptive up there so they can flow unencumbered to the ball. That's my concern. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, it's great. I saw the acquisitions. Linebacker. I go, oh, interesting. Taking care of the linebackers before we're taking care of the defensive line. And then you got the signing late
yes.
of Walker coming in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, there's one. You know, one. You know, but you keep looking. You know, well, there's a lot of positions to fill here.
DeMarcus Walker, that's a 3-year deal, $21 million.
Yeah, $7 million a year. That's a solid deal. You're not a superstar by any stretch of the imagination. You're a guy that's going to come in and give us 17 games, handful of sacks. If you're a winning team, the sacks come easier. If you're a losing team, the sacks are almost impossible to get because you're always chasing points, and the other team is more willing to go ahead and run the ball.
York, everything for me is based on Justin Fields. I mean, that's offense and defense for me. Because however successful this offseason is or next offseason, this will be all predicated on Justin Fields. I mean, one thing for sure, Justin Fields showed some development, but there's still room for improvement. Polls will say that openly. But for his success, it's not just predicated on what he does offensively. It's what the team does. If the team is still the same, if it's still in neutral, there's going to be a big shadow on Justin Fields, because they'll say, okay, if the team is still the same, then is Justin Fields expendable? That will be a conversation at the end of the season if you don't see progress from this team. That means on both sides of the football.
Well, Justin Fields, his passing needs to improve.
Yeah.
His comprehension and his ability to see what's happening in front of him. So read and react, his ability to read and react needs to come to the forefront. Mm-hmm. I saw some signs last year that the improvement was going to be, that improvement was there. You could see a little bit of it, but it wasn't enough. You saw signs of, hey, take a look, Justin Fields saw this. He went to it, and his receiver quit on him. And because his receiver quit on him, this ends up being an interception.
Yeah.
But I like the throw. I like what he was doing. I like where he was going. And then if his receiver finds a way to execute the play, it ends up in a completion and not an interception. But everybody looked at me and goes, well, what are you, crazy? Throw an interception. I go, but it's his willingness to go ahead and put the ball where it needed to be, and his receiver probably, his receiver turned and probably goes, I'm never going to get the ball in this situation.
Right.
And stopped on the route and did come back to the football. So, you know, that's the problem. But yes, obviously, the improvement for Justin Fields is the number one thing for this team, and you still got to find a way to protect him. Protecting him, getting to the quarterback were the two major things in a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the three main things. So what have we really addressed? You got one offensive lineman.
Right.
Right? It's not a superstar.
Right.
He's just a solid guy.
Yeah.
Solid guy. You need solid guys.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a team full of solid guys with about 12 superstars. Team full of solid guys with 12 superstars. And you've got one solid guy in the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of work to do along the fronts.
Yeah. Never confuse activity with accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's good for today. But, you know, I can't wait.
Right.
I want to see what else they're going to do in free agency, Yerk. And the same thing with this draft. It'll tell a great story. Here's the positive I can give you. The positive is the age of these guys.
Oh, youthful.
I mean, you'll take guys that are 25 and younger and put them in here and plug and play and see what happens. Especially when you're going through transition. As much as everyone wants the Bears to win yesterday, that's just not how it's built. The fix was in last year. There's a reason why they won three games, is because they leveled the franchise to be able to get to where they are right now.
Exactly. And they didn't think they were going to get to the number one pick.
No.
It was a bonus.
Thank you, Lovey.
It was the gift of Lovey. Yes. Lovey loving the Chicago Bears. It was a gift. But I guess the question is, how much is too much for the Orlando Brown Jr.? How much is too much? For the 26-year-old offensive lineman that was a right tackle with the Baltimore Ravens, switched over and became a left tackle. Kansas City made a big trade to get him. They franchised him 1 year and have decided, hey, we can't go about the business of franchising this guy and trying to pay him what he thinks he's worth. So how much is too much not to bring Orlando Brown Jr. here?
So let's open the phone line, Shay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. We're talking to you about the Bears. You know the Bears made a slew of moves yesterday. So, Yerk and I want to find out from you, the Bears were the loudest team to start the legal tampering period. How impressed were you by Ryan Poles and what he was able to accomplish? DJ Moore via the trade, Edmonds, Edwards at linebacker, Davis offensive lineman, and then late the Demaryius Walker pickup at defensive end. These are the moves made by guy Ryan Poles and the Bears brass. What do you think? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. With the good kid, John Yurkovich. It's Jay Hood with you. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
The Captain Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The good kid, Jay Hood, with you here until 10 o'clock. Then it'll be Sylvie and Bleck coming your way right here on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000. If you're just joining us, Dirk and I have been talking about the last two, 3 days for the Bears, the moves that they made. Of course, the number one move is getting a number one wide receiver in DJ Moore, a difference maker. And I just cannot wait to see what Moore, Mooney, Claypool, and Kmet look like on the field. Because you get to the point in a situation where you look at the team, and all of a sudden, there's no more excuses, Yerk. I mean, it's like, at some point, when you start adding bodies, and you try to get better talent, now you say, all right, Justin, last year, we did this by design. We want to test your mettle. Want to find out how good you are with, you know, very little talent. Now, with talent, what does that look like? That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well, that's the exciting part. But anybody that thinks this team's only going to be a 3-4 win team, I think is mistaken. It may be take a long time to get this team to be a 12-win team, you know, 12-5. But I don't think it takes a long time to become mediocre. And in this league, 7-10, 8-9, 9-8, 10-7 is the epitome of mediocrity. It's the middle. Most of the teams reside in that middle. So I'm hoping the Bears can become mediocre this year. And by that, it's 8-9, 9-8. That's mediocrity. That's what it is. It's the epitome of mediocrity. That's where I'm hoping the Bears go with all the improvements that are going to be made, with the draft acquisitions that will be made at the end of April. They should put themselves in a position of being mediocre. I'm not asking for this team to be a world beater.
Yes.
No. I just want mediocrity. I want to be in games. And we're going to find a way to win, or we're going to find a way to lose it. Hopefully you find ways to win more often than not. That way this city can be happy on Sundays and Mondays instead of being the miserable place that it was last year. 10 straight losses over and over and over and over. November, December, January.
All right.
It was pitiful.
Okay, I understand.
Pitiful. Oh,
yes, I get it. I understand. However, we blame you. You're right. The one who took over the post game.
I know. I did. I blame myself. But listen, mediocrity is the goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything above mediocrity is a bonus. It's like having pancakes and a waffle.
Yes.
You know, it's like having both.
Oh.
Not one or the other, but I'm going to have pancakes. And then can you bring me a waffle, too, and put some blueberries on it?
At the Purple Steer?
No. Over at Jelly. Jelly or Sophia's out in my area
now.
Oh,
that's Sophia's.
Purple Steer shut down. The one in Whiting?
It's carry out.
Or Hammond, whatever you like to call it.
Ham Whiting.
That one shut down. I think the one in Calumet City on the corner of Sibley and Torrance might be Austin LaBye-Bye too.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be one left on Indianapolis Boulevard and Ridge Road.
Oh.
You might have yourself one left.
I know during the pandemic there's a little carry out action there, but I want to be able to go in there and just be able to get my pancake and my waffle.
I want them both.
Yes.
I want my pancake and my waffle, but I'm hoping for a mediocre football team this year. One that you can look at, one you can watch a developing quarterback, one with the acquisition of DJ Moore. At least DJ Moore finds a way to still maintain his ability to be dangerous.
Yes.
I don't want him to come here and go the way of Musa Muhammad, where wide receivers come to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reputation Chicago has. Is where wide receivers come to die. I don't want that anymore.
Well, the only way that's going to happen for DJ Moore to flourish is if there is an offensive line. As much as I like Braxton Jones, and Ryan Poles answered the question when we talked to him in Indianapolis, he likes the versatility of the young man. Okay, we'll see. Whether it's left side or right side, that's great. That means I believe that this move here with Nate Davis means probably goodbye to Cody Whitehair.
Yep.
And Lucas Patrick. We'll see. You still need a center there. Still need a center. I don't know who that is.
I think it says goodbye to Whitehair more than it says goodbye to Lucas Patrick. Until you get the center, then I think you say then goodbye to Lucas Patrick.
See, this is why we're talking about
it. This is a Getsy signing before it's anything.
As much as I like the moves that were made, there's still a lot to go.
And
as Yerk said in the first segment, who are you if you don't have a defensive line?
Yeah, or an offensive line. You got to build on the lines.
Yes.
You got to build on the lines. You got a lot of stuff everywhere else. You're building from the outside in and the back to the front. I like to build from the front's back. So we'll see.
How impressed were you with Ryan Poles and the moves that have been made over the last 48 hours? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Listening on the ESPN Chicago app in Indianapolis, Indiana, here's Sean on Cap and J Hood. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a purple steer on Indianapolis and Ridge still.
Yep.
And I would also like a waffle to go with my pancakes. But
the double dip.
Nothing like that.
Double dip with the blueberries for sure.
Oh, so good.
I thought we did a pretty good job yesterday with the linebackers. I agree. We still need a lot of help on the D-line. But you asked, like, what would you do to get Orlando Brown? And I say we need to do whatever it takes to get Orlando Brown, because if we can't secure that O-line, it's going to be really tough for, you know, Fields to get to Baltimore. And so we need to break the bank for Brown, I think.
Well, I mean, again, you want to solidify positions on this Bears team. That's one way to do that. And by the way, we keep forgetting about Tevin Jenkins, because in the end, the hope is that the young man can be healthy and be upright for the majority of the games. Because when we see, again, I know you're not really in do the deep dive with the analytics and the numbers and all that.
PFF?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what it says about Tevin Jenkins.
I used that to wrap my fish in.
Really?
Yeah, I used the PFF. But you know what? They're getting better. Early on, like 6-7 years ago when they started, I think they were on the struggle bus. I think now with the kind of maturity of the employees that they've gotten there and with a little bit more knowledge, and they actually hired assistant coaches that were in the NFL to say, hey, this is what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're grading a guy not knowing what the teams are looking for. I think they've gotten better. So I look at them a little bit more than I used to.
Yeah, the PFF is kind of like the priest with the homily. Like, some of it you could use, some of it you can't.
Some of it you have to dismiss right away. But they do like Tevin Jenkins, though.
Father, that's good. Okay, I can apply that to my life. I can leave that out. I can use that. All right, here we go.
Yeah. The spirit of the 70s, you know, I don't know the Latin version of it, but yeah.
It's not the spirit of 76.
Mine is emotsa sina duha svetko amen.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, it's sign of the cross in Croatia.
Okay, I was wondering if I should hit the dump button.
No, all right. You're fine.
312-332-3776 is our telephone number. How impressed were you by what Ryan Poles did over the last 48 hours with this team as we go to New Lenox? Here's Jacob on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we feeling today?
Excellent.
We're feeling good. Did you see what the Bears did?
Man, of course I did. You know, and I was on cloud nine Friday. I've called you guys before, and like I told you, I talk with my students all the time down at Stagg High School. Man, they're shooting me like emails, you know, little direct messages on like our, you know, educational message trap. Like, oh my God, DJ Moore, can you believe it? We were juiced. We were super hyped. So that had me feeling good going into free agency, and I still feel good. You know, Tremaine Edmonds is a good player, but $72 million was a little rich for me, but whatever. I mean, I think we can get past that.
Set the market.
And it absolutely did. And he's 25 years old. I remember people talking about drafting him over Roquan when he came out. Like, he was good at Virginia Tech, I believe. He's been good ever since, but he's not, like, transcendent. But he fits Flus's system. I get it. I guess what I'm looking at, and I know that this isn't the popular or, like, you know, sexy way to build a roster, but when I was hearing Yerk say, like, you know, they got to win. They got to find a way to win these games. I think something that's kind of been understated and needs to be talked about a little more is that true vet leadership. Justin's 24. DJ Moore's 25. We've built the roster well. We've got some young core, you know, really, really strong pieces that we can build, like, you know, a team around. But, I mean, there are really good available players that are just getting, I think, grazed over because they're, oh, God, you know, the dreaded 30 years old. Now, I get it. Well, if they're a running back or a really prime position, that's dangerous. But Jadeveon Clowney's a four-time Pro Bowler, and he played pretty well, you know, over, you know, the first half of games in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Ben Jones has been a dog in the trenches as a center for almost a decade in Tennessee. He's only 32 years old. Frank Clark, he fits the system. He is, you know, that big prototypical DN that you want in the 4-3. He's 30, you know, and he's played well for Kansas City.
But that matters. But that matters, though. Ask Yerk. I'm just telling you from my standpoint as a fan, there's a dividing line there when you get to a certain age. 30 is not 30 for just
a
young man.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's actually older in the NFL, isn't it?
The best signing we had at Jacksonville when we made the ad, we got Leon Searcy in there, and Leon Searcy was fantastic. I mean, unbelievable what a player he was. I mean, a shame he played opposite of Bocelli because Bocelli overshadowed what Searcy did. We drafted Kevin Hardy at the time. Aaron Beasley was drafted that year. So they had, and Tony Brackens. Mm-hmm. So you had three guys come in. The best signing we made, and it was late, he became available. Clyde Simmons. 30-plus, Clyde Simmons, the old man. He looked like he could barely move half the time. But, boy, he could rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came time into the playoffs and at the end of the year when we had to win games, it was always Clyde Simmons and Tony Brackens, two guys, the old bull and the young bull out on the field making things happen, the two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So every blue moon, and we weren't expected to win that year. You know, there's 96, 95, they were an expansion team. Nobody thought of anything. Then we made some, you know, put some pieces in place, 4-7, won 5 games. Morton Anderson misses a chip shot field goal. Next thing you know, we're in the playoffs.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, that's the way it works sometimes. But no, I wouldn't be against if you had a need and there was an old guy that was still available and still out there and you wanted to bring him in on a 1 or 2 year deal. I'm not against it if he makes your team better. If he is clearly better than what you have out there, then, yeah, you bring the old guy in. And Clyde couldn't practice 2 times a week.
Yeah.
And it went directly against Coughlin's philosophies. But they saw what he did in the game. And when Clyde would come in there and play in the game, then he came to Chicago after that. He followed Geron over here.
Yeah.
And was a member of this team. Then he was a member of the coaching staff. So there are old guys. There's the exceptions. You know, you don't want to have five of them, but you might want to have one or maybe two old veteran guys. We're getting our ass kicked in Denver, and Clyde flipped the water table, and he flipped everything, and he told us to get our heads out of our asses. We got to play some better. It was Clyde that did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he could just tell the coaches were kind of, what the hell's going on? And then he handled it for them. Nobody had to say anything. But it's, every once in a while, you need that veteran presence. That's the only reason I'd sign an older player, though. Just so you know. One time. 1 year, 2 year contract, that's it. And he's clearly better than what I have. And Clyde was clearly better than what we had.
The Bears were the loudest team to start the legal tampering period. How impressed were you by Ryan Poles? We were talking about DJ Moore and Edmonds and Edwards, the linebackers, and Davis, the offensive lineman, and also the late pickup, the defensive end, Demarius Walker. What do you think of what Poles has done so far with the Bears? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. With the good kid, Jay Hood with you, Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. And also on 100.3 FM HD2.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The New York Jets are working to reach an agreement with wide receiver Alan Lazard.
I wonder why.
The former Packer could be going to the New York Jets, which means
Aaron Rodgers will be in New York.
That official?
It's not official for me. I got to ask Trey Wingo. Wow. Trey Wingo seems to be the guy that's in the know right now.
Jimmy Garoppolo's found a new home as well. The Raiders signed Jimmy G to a 3-year, $72 million deal. So when you fly into McCarran, you'll see Jimmy Garoppolo right there on the billboard.
Might have his own casino by the time it's over.
The Bears got defensive line help yesterday, signing Tennessee defensive end DeMarcus Walker to a 3-year deal worth $7 million annually. Walker had a career-high 7.5 sacks with the Titans last year. This signing capped off a busy opening day yesterday, with the Bears also adding offensive guard Nate Davis and linebackers Tremaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards. The NBA is continuing their investigation into Memphis star Ja Morant. Morant has left Memphis and entered a counseling program in Florida. Jay Moore.
This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners.
How are we going to work this? Same way we always do. I interrogate him, you write it down.
Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And the ESPN Chicago app. And good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching the show and all the shows here at ESPN 1000 here for spring trading as Yurko's in for Cap here on Cap and Jay Hood. T.J. Edwards, 27 years of age. How many Wisconsin guys can the Bears have? You got a little, Sanborn, got a little T.J. Edwards. Tied for the seventh most tackles in the league, 159 against Philly. A full-time starter in his second year. And so, you know, again, coming from Philadelphia, the 85 Bears, as I was told, by the way, right before the Super Bowl. Philadelphia's defense, the 85 Bears.
85 Bears. I was told that, too.
Yeah, yeah. What happened to the Super Bowl?
He looked pretty comfortable, Patrick Mahomes, back there, didn't he? And when uncomfortable, found a way just to race through everything and put himself in a field goal position.
Yeah.
To end up winning that game.
Yeah.
38-35. What a game, too.
Johnny, I'm glad that they got T.J. Edwards, and you have to start somewhere.
Right.
Just keep in mind, before all of this, there was about a dozen positions that had to be identified by this Bears team. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying, hey, what about your lines first? And then linebackers, you can get that at some point. But at when you're the Bears, beggars can't be choosers in this spot. You have a lot to fill still on this team. It shows you that what happens when you pick a lane. So difficult to just bottom out in the NFL.
I like the reality that's out there. I mean, T.J. Edwards signed a good contract for T.J. Edwards. Undrafted free agent, comes into the league, plays for Philadelphia, is a productive player for Philadelphia, but realizes he's not cashing in at $18 million a year. So you get him for what you get him for. Good, solid signing. Chicago kid wants to be in Chicago. Good for him, right? Mm-hmm. Edmonds. Farrell Edmonds' boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Farrell. I play with Farrell Edmonds, tight end down in beautiful Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Good man. He's a good, tremendous sire. I think he's got three kids that are playing in the NFL, doesn't he?
Second generation ball player.
Top notch, mm-hmm. top notch. So we'll take him. Big, tall, lanky, be able to run. Maybe a will, be able to track things down for you. Athletic. It's what Eberflus likes. Great, I understand. You've got to have that. You've got to have your linebackers. You need top-quality guys to be able to chase things down. They need cover in front. That's all I'm saying is they need some cover in front, whether it comes via free agency or whether it comes via the draft. I get it. So this is a two-and-a-half-month process. This is what this is. I'm not being greedy. I'm not being overly judgmental. I'm not telling anybody they're doing a poor, horrible job. I'm not. But the biggest thing he's done so far, Ryan Poles, is what he did on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That trade from 1-9, that's the biggest thing that's happened, and DJ Moore has come here, which means Mooney is a 2, Claypool is a 3, and Equimania St. Brown, and everybody else will be fighting for playing time.
Oh, those guys are still around?
Yeah, they're still around. Well, they signed him to a 2-year deal, Equimania, because he's a tremendous blocker.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So is he your blocking wide receiver that when you see him in the game, you know he won't catch a pass, but he'll be a blocker?
I thought we turned a page on all that. I did see him on this depth chart.
No,
I was hoping.
He's there. He's there.
Come on, man.
Yeah, he's there. So, yeah, they can fight for the rest of the play time. But Claypool didn't show me enough. He needed the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll give you the offseason. You're going to get it. Mooney had to recover from injury, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Mooney got beat up a little bit, so he's got to recover from injury. And then DJ Moore has got to come in here, and the first thing he needs to do is take his quarterback for a cup of coffee. Hot cup of Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And let's break it down for each other. I'm your guy.
Yes.
I'm going to be there for you.
I need you.
But you need to feed me the football. The football needs to be fed to me. I'm going to make things happen. Well, you and I are going to have a tremendous amount of success here with the Chicago Bears. Take you 3 years to break every single quarterback and wide receiving record here in Chicago. Three years. That's all it's going to take.
Yes.
Three productive years. You guys will own every single record here.
I mean,
that's how bad it is in the city of Chicago.
I mean, it'll make you forget the name Johnny Morris. And many have.
Yeah.
It's at the wide receiver spot.
You're never going to forget the name Walter Payton, but Walter Payton holds the record for the Chicago Bears, all-time record for receptions. Do you know that?
Yes.
Your running back does.
Yeah.
All-time record.
Which is really sad.
Yeah, it's sad. It's an indictment on the offensive quarterbacking and receiving position here in the city of Chicago. No Willie Gault. No Curtis Conway. Curtis couldn't stand it in Chicago. He wanted to be in California.
Yes.
Take me to California. I don't want to be here. It's too cold. Mm-hmm. I want to be warm. You know, all the great receivers that you've had that have come through this place. Marcus Robinson, I thought, was going to be a stud.
Oh, Marcus Robinson.
1,400-plus yards.
Oh, Marcus Robinson.
But it was just so quick. Marty Booker.
Marty
was a 2, disguised as a 1 here in the city of Chicago.
A good possession receiver.
Yes, a 2 disguised as a 1 in Chicago. Because we don't know what a tremendous receiver looks like.
And then DJ Moore comes in here with his back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Yeah. It's like he does that in his sleep.
With 9 different quarterbacks.
Right.
With 9 different quarterbacks. Now you got a quarterback, Justin Fields. He's got to find his way. Yeah, the game slowed down for him a little bit last year. Now it needs to slow down even more. When it slows down, he's going to get it. He's going to read, react. He's going to make things happen. You know how excited I am?
I know.
I am excited.
I'm excited about the future for the team.
Right. But I'm excited about knowing that they're going to get cover for both of their quarterback and for their linebacker.
But there's more, Yerk. There's more to come. At least that's
yes,
the hope.
It better be more to come.
At least that's the hope.
Got a lot of money to spend, Jonathan.
On the home of the Bears.
You ain't going to spend it all, but there's a lot of money to spend.
312-332-3776 is our telephone number. In Geneva, here's Mark on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Mark.
Marky.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, spring trading's great. Loving hearing you two together. It's been a fun morning.
It's Southside Pride. That's
right.
Yeah, Yerk and I drank from the same water.
96 in Exchange.
Exactly right.
Vets Park.
Cal Sag water. There you go.
Oh, that's
tasty.
Hey, I'm going to jump in on the Ryan Poles is the man talk here, right? And I know we get our head over our skis as fans here a little bit, but this is what I love the most. Ryan Poles is dictating to the league what the Bears are going to do. It started with the trade. Carolina wanted to throw in a 2025 number one. He said, no, I want DJ Moore. He stuck to his guns. He got DJ Moore. Job done. Yesterday, all these guys we're rumored to be close on deals with, look at the guys that we didn't sign. Okereke, McGlinchey, those guys got overpaid. Good for Denver for emptying the bank account for McGlinchey. I don't want him at that price. Neither did Ryan Poles. He moved on, and I love that he is dictating that to the league. He's building something sustainable, and I'm here for it, guys.
Absolutely. And again, what I'm saying is with this Bears team is that what we saw over the last 48 to 72 hours is not exactly it for the Bears, because we got to still go through the draft. We still got to go through more free agency. But whatever happens, Yerk, before this is all done, I'm still shooting for 2024 and 2025. Because you still need seasoning. Everyone still needs to be able to come together.
You got to be able to get comfortable. You got to be able to become comfortable, and you've got to be able to learn to win. By the way, Okereke didn't get overpaid. 4 years, $40 million, $10 million a year is not overpaying
That'll
for
work.
Okereke. That's a good, solid contract that the Giants felt that he was worth. It's a good contract. It's not an overpay.
You know what we have coming up? You know, it's funny. You and I were talking about breakfast earlier. A little purple steer.
Oh, yeah.
A little pancake, a little waffle.
Mm.
That wafting through the kitchen. And then it's sizzling, and it comes right to your table, and you're like, wow, I'm going to sit down here and just have myself a nice meal.
I need syrup.
Well, definitely. You'll get the whatever syrup you like, sir. Whatever
no
you
butter
like.
On my stuff, though. Just syrup.
Just syrup. That's all you need, right? Yeah, you don't want it to be too messy.
No.
I understand.
Sir.
Well, we have coming up our breakfast bracket, and everyone at ESPN 1000 will be able to take a look at this on Twitter. And, of course, we will have everyone be part of the March Madness. The March Breakfast Madness that we're going to have. We'll reveal that bracket coming up next. And more of your phone calls on what the Bears have done here with Ryan Poles, all these moves. Shot or no shot at 8 o'clock. All part of the mix on Cap and J-Hood.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000. It was streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. Yerk is in for spring trading with me, Jay Hood. So we're going to reveal these brackets, our breakfast bracket. What is the official name here, Shay, for this? Is this our breakfast March Madness bracket?
Yeah, it's our breakfast food March Madness bracket right here on Captain Jay Hood.
Okay, so we've got four categories, and I know that you have two in your hand.
Yes.
If you'll pardon the expression. Also have two in my hand when it comes to this March Madness bracket. So I've got a category of savory and one of sweet.
Now, savory and sweet. Not to be confused with each other.
No.
Savory and sweet.
But however, there was a Saturday night. Never mind. I'll tell you about this later. Behind the rink at 87th Street. Nonetheless.
I know the one.
So for savory, the number one seed, and this is really put together well by Jay Moore and by Shay. And would you guys have any help between you two?
Anybody we are else? The selection committee. If you have a problem, it's with us.
I like that.
Because the agents.
It narrows the search here. These two, the savory number one seed, steak and eggs. Number two seed, chicken and waffles. Number three seed, hash browns. Number four seed, grits.
It's pretty good.
For the savory.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. I like the combination of it all.
How about that?
Seems to be solid.
So I'll just give you the four there.
Top four seats.
Top four seats for sweet. You ready?
Yeah.
Pancakes at one. You got a problem with... Pancakes should be one for sweet,
no,
right?
No, I'm a happy camper with pancakes.
Two French toast.
Okay, that's fine. A little egg involved there.
The three seed was Belgian waffles. Four seed cinnamon rolls.
Solid. And I was hoping that a cinnamon roll was going to find its way in there.
All right. Now, you have two in your hand as well.
I do, too. I've got the two brackets on my side are cereal and fast food.
Uh-huh.
Fast food being such a prevalent part of today's diet, that fast food is certainly one of its own, and I've got cereal. I'm going to go with cereal first, if you don't mind.
All right.
They're great. Yep. Frosted Flakes. That's right. Number one seed.
Wow.
Number two, you either choose between cocoa and fruity, and we've chosen Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles. I'm a fan. Always have been. Oh, so many marshmallows, so many decisions to make. Lucky Charms, number three. And the four seed, Cocoa Pebbles.
Hmm.
Cocoa Pebbles.
Hmm.
So both of the Pebbles make their ways into the top four as the two and four. Opposite brackets, not surprised if they meet up in a championship game.
All right. And the other one?
Fast food.
Fast food.
Fast food. I find the number one seed to be an intriguing one seed.
Hmm.
McDonald's hash browns. Just a hash brown.
That's a tough one.
McDonald's hash brown, the number one seed.
Jay Moore, did you fight for that or did you fight against that one seed?
I was against that.
Number two. Number two. It's simple.
Yep.
It's quick. Sausage McMuffin.
Oh, yeah.
Sausage McMuffin.
Yep.
Up to the three seed. Well, this is the first time we go away from the McDonald's brand.
Mm.
Chick-fil-A Minis. Chick-fil-A Minis.
Not on Sundays.
Not on Sunday. You won't be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, we're back. McGriddle.
McGriddle.
The McGriddle. I believe that is a pancake on top of a sausage on top of a pancake.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we have?
That's right.
Could have an egg in the middle, maybe.
Could. Folded
cheese.
Egg.
Whatever kind of cheese McDonald's uses. I don't know what kind of cheese it is. It seems to never melt.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to never change color.
Mm-hmm.
And it never goes bad, even if you leave it out for 3, 6, 7 months. It's the same shape.
Did you guys look up something that says the hash brown is the number one seed? Is that the most popular item?
It's my number one seed, too. If I'm filling out my bracket, hash browns is going to the Final Four. The McDonald's hash brown is the best fast food breakfast item there is. It is.
Could you just have that as a solo item?
No, but every time you go, don't you get extra? It's so versatile. You can't do McDonald's breakfast without the hash brown. You can put it on your sandwich. You can eat it separately. My wife's a nut. She'll get three of them every time we get McDonald's breakfast.
Man.
The hash brown is the best fast food breakfast item.
I don't know, man. I think that two or three seed that you mentioned might win that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking about. The three was the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Three was Chick-fil-A. The four seed was the McGriddle. But sausage McMuffin.
I mean, that's a classic right there.
I'm an egg McMuffin guy most of the time when I went, that Canadian bacon. But I found over the course of a lifetime, I take the Canadian bacon out and just chuck it into the bag and don't even eat it.
Shot or no shot.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.